We are the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short.
Hello, welcome to the Insights from the OXO Student Survey Series for the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short. This is a new mini In Conversation series that will explore the OXO study and the impact of its findings for parents, teachers, policymakers, and mental health professionals. I'm Clara Faria, an ACAM Young Person Ambassador, and today I have the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Holly Bear and Dr. Simona Skripko-Skaite, both senior researchers at the OXO Student Survey. OXO is a large-scale student survey designed to measure the well-being of children and young people. It looks at mental well-being, anxiety, indicators of vulnerability, such as bullying and loneliness, school experience, access to services, safety online, and many more areas. It is a joint effort between schools, young people, the NHS, local authorities, and the OXO research team at the University of Oxford's Department of Psychiatry. In this episode, we will focus on adolescents' online behaviors and the association with young people's mental health and well-being. If you're a fan of our In Conversation series, please subscribe on your preferred streaming platform. Let us know how we did with a rating or review and share with friends and colleagues. Welcome, Holly and Simona. It is really lovely to see you both again. Can you start with an introduction, giving a short overview of what you do, please?
Hi, Clara. It's a pleasure to join you today, and thanks very much for having us. I'm a researcher at the University of Oxford, and my research focuses on the evaluation and implementation of mental health and wellbeing interventions for young people, with a particular focus on digital and school-based interventions. And I work across several different projects, including the OXO Student Survey.
Indeed, it's lovely to be here. My name is Dr. Simona Skripko-Skaite, and I'm a researcher in developmental child and adolescent psychology at the University of Oxford. Like Holly, I work across a few different projects, including the OXO study. But overall, my work tries to understand child and adolescent mental health and successful functioning under different circumstances and contexts, such as during the pandemic, online, or in relation to neurodiversity.
That's really interesting. Thank you. And I wanted to start by asking, adolescents are more connected than ever before. And this shift in how they use technology has raised widespread concerns about the relationship between general screen time or social media use and adolescent mental health. In the OXO survey, which specific variables did you investigate? And what did you discover about adolescents' self-reported online behaviors?
Yes, that's right. I think social media is an integral component of adolescents' daily lives and has rapidly transformed the ways in which adolescents socialize, interact with their peers and with the wider world. And there's also a kind of growing public discourse, I guess, raising concerns about the role of social media use in the documented increase of adolescent mental health difficulties. So I think understandably, this has left many parents and educators and mental health care providers with questions about how best to advise and support adolescents on their social media use. So in a sample of over 14,500 12 to 16 year olds who completed the Oxwell survey in 2021, we mapped adolescents' online behaviours. So including things like time spent on social media, frequency of social media use before sleep, school night screen time rules, exposure to self-harm content online, and meeting an older person alone who was first met online, and things like posting content that was later regretted and accessing mental health support. We then conducted analyses to determine if there's a relationship between those online behaviours and anxiety, depression, and loneliness. And in terms of some kind of key findings from that, but 73% of adolescents reported that they'd used social media in the hour before they intended to go to sleep either daily or at least 3 to 4 times per week. In total, about 15% of adolescents reported that they'd met a person in the real world that they'd first got to know online. But somewhat reassuringly, less than 1% reported that this person was older or an adult and that they'd met them alone. And then nearly 20% of the sample had posted or done something on the internet that they later regretted. So about 65% reported this was a photo or a video of themselves, and about 32% regretted a public comment. And then finally, nearly half reported that they'd seen self-harm content online. So quite surprising, actually.
Yes, those are quite concerning figures. Simona, as Holly mentioned, you looked at the association between various online behaviors and anxiety, depression, and loneliness. Could you comment a bit more on those findings? Does it make a difference what type of content young people are accessing in terms of those associations?
So I believe it does, and that is in big part what drove our motivation for the study. As Holly mentioned, there is a bit of a public panic on how social media use relates to mental health. After all, we do have an increase in mental health symptoms reported by young people, and we all, including the young people, are spending more and more time online. So it's easy to assume a causal link given this correlation. However, the research findings on it are quite mixed and very inconsistent. And that is likely to be at least in part because we tend to look at social media use as time spent using social media only, or looking at one specific social media related activity at the time, rather than reflect on how the young people are using it or what they're doing it online. So we wanted to investigate how the relationships between time spent on social media and other online related activities that Holly nicely mentioned just before relate to mental health when taken together. We found that there was a direct and positive association between time spent on social media and anxiety and depression or loneliness, but that was really small and inconsistent between our different groups. Instead, we found stronger, albeit still kind of small to medium, positive effect between these mental health symptoms and exposure to self-harm content online, engaging in online activity that was later regretted, or seeking support online. What this suggests is that particular online activities that young people engaged in does relate more to young people's anxiety and depression and loneliness in comparison to how much time they're spending on social media. Although it is important to note that in no way these findings are pointing to causal relationships, that the strength of these associations might indicate that there's much more happening in these young people's lives that would explain the variability in their mental health even better.
And in your analysis, did you find any differences across age and gender? For example, are girls more vulnerable to the content they are exposed to online? And last, does it make a difference if a person is exposed to harmful content online at a younger age compared to being exposed later in adolescence?
Yeah, thank you. Those are interesting questions. So we had actually hypothesized that certain groups of adolescents may be particularly at risk for increased anxiety and depression symptoms and loneliness due to their online activity. So in terms of gender, we didn't actually find any evidence of differences between females and males in the hypothesized direct pathways between time spent on social media and anxiety and depression symptoms and loneliness. In fact, when split by gender, the previously weak associations between social media and anxiety and depression symptoms and loneliness became insignificant. On average, females reported higher depression, anxiety and loneliness and social media use than males, suggesting group differences in mean level scores rather than associations. However, females who more frequently use social media before sleep and who were exposed to self-harm content online were more susceptible to higher levels of anxiety, depression, and loneliness than males.
So we have also investigated how these co-occurring associations differed between the year groups. So specifically, we looked at English year groups 8 and 9, so that's 12 to 14 year olds, and year groups 10 and 11, so including 14 to 16 year olds approximately. There was one notable difference in these associations. So specifically between time spent on social media and loneliness, and that association was only present in younger but not older adolescents, suggesting that maybe lonelier younger adolescents tend to seek social connection online more than older ones do.
Simona, could you go a bit more into detail for our audience about the type of analysis you used to study the association between online behaviors and mental health? What type of model did you build to study those associations?
So we used structural equation modeling, or path analysis more specifically. We built a model based on what previous literature looking at single or few online activities suggested may be affecting the adolescent mental health. For instance, we expected that things like having screen time use rules in the household or using social media before sleep, as well as seeking help online, exposure to self-harm content, regretting online activity, meeting strangers online would all relate to both time spent on social media and mental health symptoms in terms of anxiety and depression or loneliness, and that there may be direct relationships between time on social media and mental health too. It's worth noting that the Oxwell survey collects cross-sectional data, meaning that we are not collecting repeated data on the same individuals over time. However, we have rich data from many adolescents across England who may not participate in other research, giving us somewhat of an insight into somewhat unrepresented communities. So due to this richness, we could estimate how all these different online behaviors relate to mental health and one another simultaneously, and how they are different between different groups like age, gender, and history of self-harm.
That's really interesting and definitely a huge strength of the OXO surveys. Moving forward, your findings on online behaviors and its impact on young people have a huge importance and are of interest for local authorities, commissioners, parents. And Holly, I know you've done some really nice work with implementation. Do you have any plans for implementing and disseminating those findings from the OXO student survey?
Yes, we absolutely do. So these findings are presented in a paper that will hopefully be published in the coming months. So do watch this space for that. We'll also create accessible summaries of our findings to accompany the paper, which will be made available on the OXO website and our various social media channels. But I think although kind of understanding and unpicking the various contributing factors is quite challenging here. It's not straightforward. It's not a straightforward picture. And the solutions are certainly not straightforward. We've taken together our findings from this paper and these analyses with relevant previous literature, as well as feedback from stakeholder involvement. So we've spoken to teachers, for instance, to generate some key suggestions about how best to support adolescents to use the internet and social media in an adaptive and enriching way. So for instance, it may be that rather than just imposing general kind of blanket restrictions on social media use, psychoeducation in homes and in schools regarding some of the potential negative impacts and some of the risks of certain online behaviours is needed. And then through those recommendations provided, we hopefully can gain a better understanding of the full impact of social media so that we can maximise the benefits and minimise the harms of social media platforms to create safer, healthier online environments for adolescents.
And when looking at the data, did anything surprise you? Were there any findings that were not in line with the hypothesis you initially made?
A few things actually did. So for instance, previous research would suggest that having rules when the screens should be switched off in the house and relatedly screen time use before sleep would both be associated with increased mental health symptoms or decreased mental health symptoms. We found that unsurprisingly, they both related to how much time the adolescents were spending using social media, but neither was related to anxiety or depression or loneliness directly when the other behaviors were accounted for. We did also find that only a tiny proportion of adolescents, less than 1% of our participants, reported being involved in risky behaviors, such as meeting an older online stranger in person alone. We were afraid that this behavior may be a bit more common nowadays, that all the sort of time that people are spending online. So it was really reassuring to see that was not the case.
Yeah, and I think for me, it was really the fact that explicit and potentially traumatic content continues to be easily and widely accessible for adolescents. So nearly half of adolescents in the current Oxwell sample reported that they'd seen self-harm content online, which was related to higher depression, anxiety, and loneliness across all groups examined. So I think that technology companies, including app companies, can play an important role in designing safer online environments, prioritizing user safety, and minimizing the risks associated with exposures to certain content on social media as a result of kind of algorithm-driven content.
That's really interesting and definitely a concern for parents and teachers and I think society as a whole. Thank you so much for your time, Holly and Simona. And last question, looking to the future, could you share a bit more about your plans for the next Oxwell waves regarding online behaviors and social media use in adolescence?
Yes, we do have a few exciting things planned. So we have just finished collecting data for the 2023 wave a few months ago, where we have introduced additional questions on things like socialness of different online and screen activities such as gaming, and collected more in-depth data on why and how adolescents are exposed to self-harm content online. So very excited to delve deeper into the pattern of behavior there and learn what we need to do to protect the young people better.
Yeah, I agree with Simona. I think it's really important for the field to move forward that we move away from this kind of reductionist approach that sees social media as merely helpful or harmful, and instead consider the nuances of, I guess, for whom and in what ways and when social media affects mental health outcomes. So I think this includes really thinking about a broader range of moderation indirect effects when doing research and kind of expanding on the more traditional risk and protective factors that we look at. So including various forms of parental involvement. So while it might not just be about restricting use, it could be other things like parental engagement to explore and learn things on the internet and kind of better parental understanding of the types of websites and apps that are being accessed to inform discussions with their children, kind of open communication about internet use and experiences of explicit content. And I think, as Simona said, these are all questions that we're exploring and looking into in more detail in Oxwell, both in 2023 and in future iterations of the survey. And I guess the final thing to mention, in our work, we're also increasingly thinking about the implementation and evaluation of promising intervention approaches designed to reduce more unhelpful online behaviours, such as regretting posting content online, and encourage more adaptive behaviours. So yeah, I guess watch this space for those things too.
Thank you so much to both of you. It was a really interesting conversation. And for more details on Dr. Simona Skripkauskaite and Dr. Holybear, please visit the Oxwell and ACAM websites. You can find ACAM website at www.acam.org and Oxwell at oxwell.org. We also have a Twitter, which is at ACAM. ACAM is spelled ACAMH. And do keep an eye out for other podcasts in the Insights from the Oxwell Student Survey series, including episodes on friendship, self-harm, sleep, and more. And don't forget to follow us on your preferred streaming platform. Let us know if you enjoyed the podcast with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues.